Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Conscious Awakening series. I'm your host, Sheila Seppi, and my intention with this podcast is to support you in your spiritual and cosmic growth. Now, each week, we explore inspiring stories of resilience, triumph, transformation and empowerment right here on the Conscious Awakening Network. We have shared experiences over this last year that involve kidnapping, human trafficking, mind control, and today we're going to talk about targeting. So if you have been subject to targeting, please know there may be sensitive information that's going to be shared that could trigger you. So listen with an open mind and an open heart. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the subject of trafficking, trafficking typically refers to like deliberate selection of an individual or a group for surveillance or harassment, exploitation, harm by a party or an individual. It also can manifest in various forms such as psychological manipulation, physical surveillance, cyberbullying, stalking, and even more extreme measures such as physical violence or coercion. Now, today, my guest has been subject to many of the forms of targeting. Her name is Brooke Jeffries. She has her master's in counseling psychology and for 35 years has practiced as an international spiritual intuitive and an energy healer. She is known as a targeted individual and has been experiencing deep torture and harassment from military-grade surveillance technology. Her journey over the last 3 years through the attacks and the depths of mind control, dark frequency surveillance, harassment, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, have served nothing more than to strengthen her devotion and her commitment to embodying the path of awakening in service to the collective. Her alignment with higher guidance has navigated a healthy ground embodiment of speaking truth to power, standing for justice in the midst of corruption, with joy and divine neutrality, to be able to counter these negative, power-hungry, domineering forces. It is time to be fearless force for those forces, for what we are, and those who are powerless. Now, this is a planetary tale of one individual's journey from victim to predator to hero. Her intent is to transmit an open possibility for you to be the hero of your own lives. So, Brooke, I want to welcome you to the show, and I am anxious to hear your story that you want to share with others.
Oh, I'm so excited to be and to share with you specifically, Sheila. Thank you so much for this opportunity. So I'll begin with my love of the divine within me that has been my life path. I lived in Santa Fe, New Mexico for 26 years on a property high above Santa Fe in the glorious mountains, Pinon, Ponderosa Pine, on 11 acres. It was where I worked. It was where I had my clientele. It was where I regenerated. It was my spiritual sanctuary. And 6 years ago, a couple moved into the property next door on 12 acres. And they are Don Dawkin, of former head of heavy metal group Dawkin, D-O-K-K-E-N. And his female partner, Jennifer Schwallenberg, S-C-H-W-A-L-E-N-B-E-R-G. Look them up, people. These are real people. They moved in next door. And all I can say is I had very little to do with them. I was a good neighbor. I am a piece of your mail. Do you want it? And so forth. Very casual relationship. I didn't know them. We shared a common driveway. That's all. All I know is that they began fighting 3 years ago, summertime. I was hearing every word of their fighting echoing over the mountain that we were in. The sound carried very easily. And so it disturbed me so much I couldn't sleep. After 2 weeks of it, I texted the female, Jennifer Schwellenberg, and said, if this continues, I'm going to be calling the police. It's a noise violation. Please stop. Well, it didn't stop. And the next day on my first iPhone, I'm on a call with a client, and I hear in the background Don Dawkins' voice, loud and clear, and he's harassing me. And I'm said to my client, do you hear that man's voice? That's my neighbor. He's on our call. And the other person said, no. I said, well, I'm going to hang up and have you call me back. And it continued. From then forward, Sheila, on every single phone call, I heard Don Dawkins' voice loud and clear narrating the conversation and harassing. Then I started hearing him in every single room within my property. So I'm talking about the bathroom, I'm talking about the bedroom, the kitchen, and he would be narrating every activity that was going on.
How do you think that's possible? How do you think it's possible that he was able to hear your conversations, be on the same phone line, and actually narrate your movements in your home?
Well, my first thought went to that he had hacked into, so that he had been a hacker, and so that he had fluency in computer skills. So I thought it was that he's hacked into my phone and it's serving as a microphone. And then he must have gotten into my property and had bugs, physical bugs, which are easily, I began researching, they're easily put into wall sockets, light sockets, and so forth. And so I proceeded from that it was a physical type of surveillance. I went to Apple immediately in Albuquerque and reported the incident of my phone. They took my phone into the back room. They came back out and gave me a brand new phone with a smile on their face, which indicated to me they know this stuff is going on. All I can say is I thought he had hacked into my Wi-Fi line, because that's, we use common phone lines through CenturyLink up on this mountain community. Oh, and by the way, I lived in a gated community. So I'm talking a formal homeowners association. And we all 23 homeowners abided by those bylaws and covenants up there as a form of protection. But to proceed onward, it started escalating. I heard him in my car. I heard his voice when I go high in the mountains hiking where there was no phone signal. That took me on a deeper dive of research. I began knowing about the technology of voice to skull. Are you familiar with it, Sheila?
I've heard about the voice to skull. Can you explain it for our audience?
Yes. It's as though you're hearing someone speaking inside of your brain, and you're hearing it very clearly, but it's also an experience that it's like a surround sound, that it's in the airwaves around you. So it's simultaneously that it's surrounding you, but it's also only in your own mind, and nobody else is hearing it, which is the fact.
Right. So the voice to skull, how does someone go about achieving that? Or is it a technology that can be purchased and used?
Very good question. My research and the two organizations that have helped me understand this further, Targeted Justice and PAX International, People Against Covert Torture and Surveillance, you can look them up. They've educated me that this requires a piece of your DNA. So it could be a hair strand. It could be from your toothbrush, which he could easily have gotten into my trash and gotten these. Or it can be from any kind of blood test that you've had that's stored somewhere. There's many ways. Dentist, going to the dentist. Having your ancestry lineage researched on ancestry.com, this type of method, all of these data banks are holding our DNA, and they're able to, these criminals are able now to get into that data and to use it for their own corrupt motives. But the real pain of this experience, Sheila, is that you are isolated and that no one else hears the the dialogues or the some people experience as an ear ringing or Havana syndrome is another symptom of the same technology, such as our ambassadors in Cuba, where that Havana syndrome got named. That's all been developed, by the way, this technology. The United States government, CIA, developed this technology over 3 decades ago, at least over 3 decades ago. This is not the Russians violating us. This is from within our own government.
I've heard of technology where there is a beam of some type that gets projected into the back of the skull, into the optic nerve, which allows the person, whoever's doing this, to see exactly what's going on because they're using that person's eyes. Is this also the voice-to-skull technology?
This is also another aspect of it that I have fully in it. And the technical term is remote neural monitoring. And this is exactly my experience as well. Dawkins narrates absolutely everything I'm doing, also even before I'm doing it, because he can see predictive patterns that I have, and he can anticipate what those patterns are or insert that mind control thought into what's going to happen to overlay a different timeline into my own living. So every single activity, everywhere I've been that I've traveled, every hotel room that I've been in, every rental car that I've been in, describes where I'm going, how I'm driving, the music I'm listening to, and he harasses specifically to what my thoughts are or emotional arisings that have to do with that viewing that he's privy to.
Right. I have heard of predictive patterning technology that's available, such as, I don't think they're still using this one. There's one that's more advanced, but with Project Looking Glass, that they were able to see predictive patterns and then try to thwart the trajectory of any one pattern moving a person down a particular timeline. So one of the things I'm really curious about, other than that initial contact that you had with them requesting that they calm down or not be as loud with their arguing, was there any other types of interactions?
It were very brief. So I'm an intuitive, and Dawkins was about to go into surgery about 4 years ago, the summer prior to this first stalking experience. So he was going into a major surgery, and my intuitive guidance, we ran into each other in our common driveway. I got out of the car, went over to his car. He got out of his car. I put my hand on his hand, and I just said to him, I want you to know my guidance says you're going to make it, because he was given only a 50-50 chance of survival in the surgery. And in that moment, there was that contact. He had an open bottle of wine in the car. It was 7 weeks before the operation. His eyes were all glazed over. He was very high on drugs. He was smoking a cigarette up in the mountains where we were not allowed to, for fire hazard danger. And, you know, he was high as a kite. Usually you're to abstain prior to surgery on such substance. Now, his whole life is about violating. And so for him, all I know is that I witnessed as a neighbor, there was a lot of activity where people were high on drugs that were going up to his property, and workers would always be high on drugs. You know, there was obviously that activity taking place. And I'd spoken with his female partner. She worked part-time in the film industry. I used to work in the film industry. I gave her a free intuitive reading and said, hey, Jennifer, you ought to open your own casting directing business. She took my advice immediately and opened her own business called Casting by Jen. She works out of Santa Fe, New Mexico, where there's a lot of film activity taking place. She has a criminal record. I found this out because I hired a TCSM firm, which are private security firms who serve celebrities and diplomats who are dealing with identical type of surveillance. And they came to the property and they swept the house and they swept my car and they found no physical bugs. They wrote up a report, and that was the first indication I understood they were using military grade surveillance technology. And there was no way to get them because we have no formal neural rights in our country yet. And this is how these criminals are violating epidemically masses of human beings, consciously and unconsciously.
Yeah. You know, so with no physical evidence of anything, it's really hard to approach the authorities and share this type of information with them because they themselves may not be aware that this type of technology exists. So, you know, with all of this going on in your life, how are you able, were you and still are, how are you able to cope or even to mitigate the effects of all of the targeting and technology that's used on you in your day-to-day life?
Yes, thank you for the question. So formally what took place is he, I believe, is a psychotic serial stalker. And he practiced it by proceeding to get a restraining order against me as another form of terrorism. He and Jennifer, as well as their sister, Lori Schwellenberg, lied to a district court number one judge and got a formal restraining order against me, accusing me of harassing and stalking them. And at that point, I knew there was no alternative but to flee the situation. I had tried calling law enforcement 7 times. I only reached legitimate police dispatch twice. And it was because my phone got naturally looped into a phony dispatch line of criminals who pretended to be police. And then by the third question, they'd ask some phishing question to indicate the joke's on you, lady, you haven't reached the police. I was forced out of my property in Santa Fe of 26 years. I was forced out. I filed 2 FBI reports in New Mexico, formal FBI reports. Nothing happened. I relocated to Oregon, filed another FBI report. Nothing has been able to happen. You cannot go through legitimate law enforcement chains because they don't have technological equipment to even be able to read the frequencies that this transmits through the cell towers, the dirty electricity. There's many ways that if you have very, very high level grade monitors, you can read these frequencies violating. But back to the point, the only alternative that I knew and my higher guidance said to me was that this had been a pattern on planet Earth from time immemorial, that this had been something as a species we had had to deal with in different ways through different eons of time. And the way one is to do it is to center through the Christ path, the deep inner knowing that one is created from source, the most advanced technology intelligence that exists in all the cosmos, and to return into the center still point where you're viewing from the neocortex all that is arising through the limbic, the emotional brain, and through the reptilian brain of fear and so forth, and to use our breath work, to use all our practices that all of us do daily, but to sincerely devote to them under such crisis periods, for the ability to counteract or be the antidote to a lower frequency. Love is the highest frequency. So I stay centered in the basis of the cross, which is in the center of the heart, in the love frequency aligned with source, and horizontally witness this corruption, this Kali Yuga taking place.
So one of the things that you mentioned earlier was the name of 2 different organizations. And I know in an earlier conversation, you had shared with me that you've been a speaker, you talk with other people, you try to assist people who may be going through something similar. Could you tell people about these organizations that you have found help through?
Yes, they've helped me so much. The first is targeted justice. Targeted justice, just as it sounds. Their formal organization, they have events every day of the week as conference calls with fellow targeted individuals as well as experts that give us information that we are in now a formal lawsuit with the United States government to release the names of us that are on a terrorist watch list. Because for some reason, innocent people like myself somehow made it to a terrorist watch list. So I'm now formally categorized as a terrorist in the United States of America, never had any interaction with law enforcement ever in my life or done anything illegal. So PAX International is People Against Covert Torture and Surveillance. They also have weekly calls every night of the week. They're a very good organization. And then we have ICATOR in Europe, ICATAOR, and they are formally in Europe. This is happening all over the planet. Australia, every major continent on planet Earth has targeted individuals. In the United States alone, there's 400,000 names already documented. The information I got from the security firm was this is the greatest epidemic in the United States.
Wow.
Especially for single women. 70% of the targeted individuals are women like myself, older, professional women, highly educated, single. That's another major targeting aspect because they try to isolate you. They want you to be isolated. They also influence people around you, your employers, your clients, your families to negatively, through mind control, negatively do not believe you, do not trust them, so forth. It's a form of terrorism.
Yeah. You know, as I listen to what you're saying and I listen to the stories of other people and even things that have happened to me in my life, things don't add up. You know, it's like there is, from our perspective, there is no benefit to being targeted. However, I've come to understand that sometimes targeting occurs, just like you said, single women, but that it's being targeted to test out certain types of technology, thinking that there's no family for them to fall back on. There's no witnesses. It will isolate them and they can pretty much run the gamut of tests. Have you found that to be true, or is that something that's been discussed in these meetings?
Every meeting and every fellow TI has their own similar story to mine. And exactly, it's a predatory, parasitic dynamic with these psychopaths. So the overarching pathology is that these predators are separate from source. And essentially they're feeding off of the anger, fear, and sadness, or even joy and creativity that your energy field supplies them, like a blood transfusion. And it's considered for them information and data of how further to control the human species. The only thing is, even the people involved at the highest levels of AI now are reporting this. There's only so far AI can go. It cannot mimic intuition and it cannot mimic imagination. AI is not yet capable. So the true healing that we have is to stay centered in the frequencies of joy, of strength, and of also going forward, continue to move forward. Don't stay in the subconscious mind of shame or guilt, the low frequency held in the subconscious mind, because that's how you're held in these targeting patterns through the subliminal programming. So they infer constantly these negative, harassing thought forms. You're no good. You're worthless. They're trying to kill life. The ultimate goal is to kill you in a slow death.
One of the things that I want to share, and we may, you and I may have even had a similar conversation, but to share with the audience, is my understanding of humanity and the control systems that have been superimposed upon the population is through the false matrix. Now, there are many, many, many people who talk about the false matrixing, but also talking about now is the time that people are waking up, and therefore the false matrixing programming no longer has a hold on them. The false matrixing programming being technology that was literally used, beamed in to this planet, which did create fear, feelings of separation, unworthiness, those kinds of things from lower vibrating energies or entities or populations. Now, that having been said, I don't want to give the idea that life outside of Earth is negative, because that is not what I have found or people around me have shared with me, although just like with anything, there's good and bad in everything. And so with this new eclipse that's coming up, there is a portal that's being formed. Now, I heard one speaker say that because of the false matrixing and the way that the energies were captured on the planet, there was not the opportunity for new negative beings to come in to this planet. However, when the gateway is created, this energetic gateway, there's an opportunity for more and more negativity to be beamed in, because there's so much positivity on the planet right now. And this being a planet where not only can people work through and rise above all of their old soul woundings and ascend, but also where that negativity feeds those lower vibrating forms. It sounds like science fiction to some. It sounds like truth to others. And somewhere in between is what's actually happening. So we really don't know, but there is a lot of thought right now about more negativity coming through that gateway. Nibiru is so close to us now. And of course, historically has been thought to be the home of the Anunnaki. Again, not that all Anunnaki would be negative, but if that is the case, and if the Anunnaki, who are looked as some as our progenitors, are that close to the planet, and if in fact they want to restore their balance on this planet, it is very possible that the eclipse could have some type of a gateway. We just don't know. But what we do know is that there are hundreds of thousands of people every day that are being targeted for absolutely no reason. In your case, you do not have any specialized training other than spirituality. And your whole premise as a psychologist was to work with people, to help people. And that's what I hear from countless numbers of people. It's like, I'm a nobody. Why am I being targeted? And so I have just wondered, as you've had many years now to contemplate this, is there any reason that you could think of possibly that someone would want to target you?
No, none whatsoever, except that they're, again, separate from their own love. So they want to belong, but they can't experience belonging. And one of the histories is that through the Sumerian texts, the Anunnaki were documented. Mm-hmm. And this same prevalence and overlay is now taking place to clear it.
Yes.
And one of the chances we have now is each of us is our own master, fully capable and just very ordinary. The free will choice. The human is a free will being of design.
Yeah.
Homo sapien is aware of being aware. We're now shifting into Homo luminous.
Yes.
So this opportunity of the eclipse is the transmutational alchemy of what we are moving from, which is we are aware people. We are using it every single moment of present moment choice, the choosing to move into conscious creation. And with that momentum and the volume of us all over the planet, ordinary people, the volume of us is threatening the counterforces of what are only in finite limitation. That's the difference, people. One is in infinity and the other is in finite. So you can feel it vibrationally. So this window is the opportunity to make a choice, a free will choice. That is our empowerment. And thank you so much for this chance, Sheila, to be with you. I so respect your platform, and I so hope that together we can put our hands into the hands of those who don't quite know what's going on and maybe can be given a chance to get some help, to get some support, and to get some freedom. That's my intent.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Brooke, for being here and sharing your experience. Hopefully your experience will help someone. They can get a hold of one of the organizations that you mentioned and find some type of peace for themselves. So everyone, I hope you enjoyed our episode today. I want to thank you for watching. Again, you have been listening to Brooke Jeffries here on the Conscious Awakening Network. And until we are back together again, many blessings and namaste. Much love, everyone.